Tinder, the app that allows people to meet and date by simply swiping left or right on their mobile phone, is estimated to have 20 million active daily users. And that's why public health officials say Tinder and other hookup apps like it are partly to blame for a spike in sexually transmitted diseases. In Utah, gonorrhea infections among women are up 714% since 2011. Rhode Island has seen syphilis cases grow by nearly 80%. A note to parents, the following conversation won't be graphic, but it does discuss adult themes. Here to talk about this now is Lynn Beltran, an epidemiology supervisor at the Salt Lake County Health Department, and Tom Bertrand of the Rhode Island Department of Health. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having us.
And Lynn, let's start with you. Give us a fuller picture of what you're seeing there in Utah.
Well, certainly one of our biggest concerns of the last couple of years has been this dramatic increase in gonorrhea cases. Over the last 3 years in Salt Lake County, we saw roughly a 400% increase overall. And we were an area where gonorrhea was virtually non-existent. Our other STDs, such as chlamydia, have been steadily increasing as well. And we have also seen a big increase in syphilis as well.
Well, Tom, there in Rhode Island, your health department says syphilis and gonorrhea cases are also up. Also, infections of HIV up 33% since 2013. So from your perspective there in Rhode Island, who's most at risk?
So in Rhode Island, you've got to think about STDs in terms of networks. You know, high-risk groups include men who have sex with men, young people, people who live in urban settings. And you want to look at the data across years, you know, usually a decade to see what are your trends and not just look year to year. So in terms of our challenges right now, chlamydia has been on the uptick for the past 10 years, generally young people, heterosexuals. Same for gonorrhea. However, most recently, we have seen an increase amongst gay and bisexual men and other men who have sex with men who have gonorrhea and syphilis.
Well, I want to ask you both. It has been suggested that these dating apps, Tinder, Grindr, now have tens of millions of subscribers around the globe, that they make it easy for people to get together and have casual sex. How much of this can we fairly assign to those apps?
We've definitely seen it happening more and more frequently in the last 3 to 4 years. Grindr was one of the first apps that was out there and available, and that's specifically for men that have sex with men. And then more recently, we're starting to see more and more heterosexual patients that report using Tinder, but I find that the heterosexual community is less likely to report to us that that's how they're meeting their partners. We can only refer to our anecdotal information as far as how much it's contributing to our increases. It's not the only reason for the increase, but it's definitely contributing to it.
People have different ways of meeting partners, whether it be through bars or clubs or campus events. Online applications and geo-mapping apps are just one more way that people can meet each other. And we have found, just like Lynn, anecdotally, that it is fairly common for people to meet each other that way. I think the interesting piece about social marketing, though, and online, is that the exchange of information that two partners may have may be limited relative to other ways they might meet each other. So when we do go to do some of our public health work to help people who may have been possibly exposed to an STD or HIV, let them know to get tested, we don't have that information at our fingertips. So it creates an additional challenge for us from public health so that we can't reach out to people who may be exposed to make sure that they get tested and treated.
But don't you just inherently know if you're doing this that you're putting yourself at risk? Or do people feel invincible in some ways?
I wouldn't say invincible in that respect. I'd say a lot of people have a knowledge of STDs as well as HIV. But it's their perception of STDs and HIV these days. Many STDs are treatable, and they're not considered that serious. And HIV is also an evolving disease where it's fairly common to interact with someone who may have HIV but might be on medication to reduce transmission. I think that's one of my goals, to get the word out there that these are serious diseases, HIV is not curable, and that we have to use these apps and online marketing because it's here to stay, to get good information out there.
Well, speaking of education, there have been some efforts to do it. Let's listen to this clip by the AIDS Task Force. It's describing an ad that it placed on Tinder.
Having a one-night stand has never been easier, thanks to Tinder, the new and most popular dating app in the world. Tinder finds singles around you, lets you like or pass on each suggestion, and if you're both interested, you got a match. So, why not use Tinder as a media to deliver the message of safe sex in the most relevant way?
So, Lynn, that campaign actually was criticized by some people who said it went on to blame women for spreading more of the infections. But, you know, that aside, what do you make of that? Do you think that these types of campaigns on the dating apps themselves could actually help?
I'm more inclined to say I don't see that messaging will help because they're promoting, you know, kind of anonymous sex that is inherent in promoting STDs. And I don't think it's direct enough to talk about the importance of having a plan in place if you're choosing to be sexually active to protect yourself from STDs.
Mm. What is Utah doing to combat the problem then?
Well, we're trying to put more resources toward investigations and also kind of reaching out to established groups that may help with our messaging. It's really a challenge, as Tom mentioned, because it's hard to track down these individuals, for example, that may have been exposed, you know, through these online apps. The tide has really changed in the sense that casual sex has become a way of life for many of our populations, and it's much more socially acceptable than it was even 5-7 years ago. And it kind of all occurred at the same time that many apps were really starting to spring up. One of the things that I'm starting to see more and more is even some patients refer to it as an addiction to get onto these apps and kind of look for sexual partners. And so I think what we're trying to do is understand more why people are seeking this out and working, you know, with people with a background in mental health training so that we can address addictive types of behaviors.
And Lynn, you are in Utah, a very conservative state. How hard is it for you to talk to people about safe sex in Utah?
It is really challenging, especially in the school systems, in the public school systems in Utah, because it is abstinence-based education. And the reality is it is really abstinence only. And the science tells us that comprehensive education actually delays the onset of sexual activity, and it better prepares our youth when they do choose to become sexually active to protect themselves from unplanned pregnancies and from STDs.
And Tom, you're in Rhode Island on the other side of the country. What's the culture like there in schools, and what is Rhode Island doing to sort of turn around its problem with these infections?
I think one of the things we really have to think about, and Lynn mentioned this, is that the world is changing very quickly, and people are identifying themselves in very different ways sexually, experimenting more, trying new things. And I think we need to work with that and rather than fight against it. One of the things we're trying to do, too, knowing that many people use apps and are online to meet partners, we work with our STD clinic. And when someone is treated for an STD, we have one of our staff there with actually a computer and a smartphone. And we'll meet with them and we'll say, listen, let's make sure all your partners get treated so you don't get reinfected. And let's get online right now so we can find those partners and send them a message. So I think one of our goals is we truly have to be client-centered when it comes to people who may have an STD and trying to help them so they don't get reinfected and making sure that other people who are exposed know they may be exposed and they can come in for treatment.
Are the numbers bad enough that you would call this a crisis?
I would not call it a crisis. I'd call it a new normal right now, and we need to push against it. Our traditional tools for trying to keep STD rates down are not as useful as they once were, and I just think we need to be more progressive.
And Lynn, for you, does that mean that people in Utah, for instance, will have to open up more and be more honest about the types of sexual relationships that they're in?
One of the things that I think would benefit Salt Lake County is if parents were to recognize that, you know, as Tom said and as I said earlier, the world is changing. And the world is particularly changing around our attitudes around sex and sexual behaviors. And so I think starting with our younger populations and providing them with access to more accurate information that doesn't come from a place of judgment is really important, and I see that in my job every day. So one of the things that we're trying to do is find ways to empower parents to speak more openly with their youth around these kinds of issues. So yes, in answer to your question, I think being more honest about what's going on in Utah will benefit everyone.
Lynn Beltran is epidemiology supervisor at the Salt Lake County Health Department, and Tom Bertrand at the Rhode Island Department of Health, talking about a big jump in sexually transmitted diseases in both states. Thanks to you both for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
And just a note, we did reach out to Tinder for comment, but we did not get a response. Grindr told us in a statement that the company strongly encourages their users to get tested and know their HIV status.